Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is my good friend, Mr. Chuck Sterling.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Chuck. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I just finished up a three-parter on getting started with unit testing, which was fairly well received, I like to think. And you then emailed me and said that you'd like to come on and talk about another area of testing.
Absolutely.
And I said, that's great. I'm happy to have this month be about testing on Visual Studio Toolbox. So what angle would you like to talk about?
So load testing. I do a lot of test conferences. I just got back from Star East, and one of the things I hear almost every conference is, you know, I wish Microsoft had a load testing tool, which is...
Don't we?
Yeah, turns out we do. It's actually one of the very first test tools that we've ever released back in 2005 when it was Visual Studio Team System. You remember the day?
I did.
I was working with you as a product manager back then. And back then, a lot of the teams picked it up. And you're thinking, that's kind of strange. There weren't a lot of websites by Microsoft development teams, and it's true. They were actually using it for a little bit different reason, which is for unit testing and actually stress testing services and being API providers. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would walk you through, A, the fact that we do have one. I want to make sure and prove the fact that we actually have one out there in existence. Walk you through a getting started kind of workflow that we imagine people will use it as, and then do that slight left turn to show you how the internal teams are using it.
Cool.
So with that, is that okay if we
walk through? That sounds awesome.
So behind us, what we've got is a little game application that I started writing. That's my retirement policy, or my retirement plan is to get this thing up and working. And I think you've seen my code, so I probably shouldn't bet on that being my primary one. I should probably stick with those lottery tickets.
I'm in no position to comment on people's code, trust me.
So I thought I would go ahead and do a normal workflow that we envision for a load test using this. So if we go ahead and do a file new, actually we'll probably want to add it to the existing one, so file add, new project. Mm-hmm. And you'll see right off the bat that there is a task category, and in there there's something called web and performance load test. So right off the bat, if you were looking for something called load test, you may easily miss this. This could be pretty easily
missed. Is this in all versions of Visual Studio, or is this a premium ultimate only?
That is a great question. That's probably another reason why people are missing it, because it is actually an ultimate only.
Okay.
So we're looking at how do we actually make this available on down level or to a wider group of people. But if you don't have Ultimate, of course, download the trial. Mm-hmm. We'll look at visualstudio.com. There's a big button. I think it's 90 days. I'm not
right.
certain.
I think that's right.
And we give you a whole bunch of free minutes on the cloud to actually run your load test. So if you're not taking advantage of those yet, you're kind of missing out. So we're going to call this one Toolbox in deference to my good friend. And what you'll see right off the bat is, again, we assume that people will be running load tests on web pages, mm-hmm. unlike most of our internal stakeholders, our first-party people. And you'll see that it starts us up with a blank page. And what I'll do is I will hit the home screen. And I've got my little phone frog application. And it's actually recording a whole bunch of traffic to my Visual Studio instance. I really don't need all that. So let's go ahead and kind of start over. And what we'll do is we'll take a look at my frog application and maybe take a look at some of these other pages. Now, I think we added the contact page and the register page. Login was already there, but we've got a couple things. So these are our brand new pages that we just added, and we would want to load test to make sure those new pages were there.
Right.
Now, in the typical world, you would actually record a scenario. You know, maybe you've got this game going on for a while, and you'd have a login scenario, or a buy game, or a play game. But in this case, we'll just call this new pages. And what this is doing is, had I typed in something like username, this is actually going to go ahead and dynamically bind to those parameters, so I can actually do data binding. It would be fairly uninteresting to go ahead and log in as Robert Green again and again and again.
Yeah.
It would get cached. It would give you some skewed results. To run through every name in the phone book a couple different times, starting randomly and then maybe reverse alphabetically, would be of interest. What we're going to do is, I want a couple of these load tests, and I don't really want them called web test one, so that way you can actually see those. So we'll call this one Robert. And we'll make a copy of this one. And we'll call this one Green. Okay, at this point, we've got our scenarios recorded. One would be login, one would be whatever the case is. And we're ready to stress test our environment. So we're gonna go ahead and choose Add New. And we're gonna add a new load test. And this is, again, if you've used the tool In 2005, you'll see that we haven't changed a lot. We have added some new enhancements. It's just not in the wizard yet. It's something that we're hoping to add in Sprint 70 or 71. About 9 weeks for guys that aren't using our Sprint calendars. we'll call this one New Pages or something like that. And rather than actually just go ahead and smashing it with 25 users right off the bat, probably go ahead and start with a user count of one. And step duration, maybe every second, we'll add one. And never go beyond, I don't know. I in my wildest dreams, I don't think there's going to be more than 100 people that use my game in the next month. So I think that's probably enough at this point. And the next screen itself is saying, how do we want to distribute the test? We want it based on time or whatever the case is.
What does that mean? How do you want to distribute
the test? If I had five tests, do I run them all, 22.3% of the time? Or do I want to go ahead and set the distribution? Or do I want to see everybody gets the exact same time? So if you take twice as long, you will run half as many times. And we actually have some fairly sophisticated algorithms around that distribution. What was the other one called?
Robert.
There we go. And at this point, I think Green is actually much more important than Robert because, well, Colette's a part of the Green clan and she's much more important than you.
Kidding.
Okay. And what this is saying is I will actually bind to the agent's machine that you're running the load test from. So we haven't really talked about agents, but again, when this was designed, the whole cloud didn't exist. It was assumed that you would have physical machines to run this.
Right.
And it's going to bind something on there that says, I'm going to make your network adapter look like a LAN or look like one of these others. Now, since we're going to actually take this to the cloud, that's one of the big enhancements we've added. We don't let you install things in Ring Zero for obvious reasons.
Sure.
Yeah, and have those machines. So this would actually get flagged as something that a load test that you couldn't put in the cloud. So we're going to go ahead and not set that. And you can see there's other changes here. What we're going to do is we're going to actually come in with different HTTP headers. And let's say that Firefox is important to me and my gaming community for whatever reason. That one we can go ahead and set. Now, again, if I'm going to run out in the cloud, I might want to collect performance counters from this machine, but you're not going to have access. So this is also going to get flagged as something that you're not going to be able to do. And I'm going to show you how we actually enable that with something called Application Insights.
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys have done a session on Application Insights.
No.
Okay. So that's a future session we'll come back and do.
Yep.
All right. So again, we are going to get you your performance counters and diagnostics of the machine under stress, but we're not going to do it through going ahead and having the agent grab it directly.
Okay.
That was kind of a security risk, and we realized it's not a good practice. Okay. And by the way, we are updating these wizards. And how long do you want to run this for? Now, in this case, let's go ahead and run this up. I don't know. 25 minutes or something like that. And so again, we're running it up to 200 users or 100 users for 25 minutes.
Okay.
Now, this machine's actually, despite it being small, it's pretty hefty, could handle that. But in a lot of real world examples, you'd run thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands.
Right.
In which case, the real work would actually begin at this point of you going out and setting up all those different rigs. Now, we've made that much, much easier. November 13th, I think it was, in New York. Did you go to New York for lunch? No, you weren't there? All right. Mm-mm. We went ahead and added this option that says, this is the default, which just says run on your local test controller.
Yep.
And you could have multiples of these. This is where I'm saying is that this is where the work would start out. But what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and run this on Visual Studio Online.
Cool. Okay.
And if by default, if I don't change anything for every, how do I say this? For every 250 users, I will give you another agent or another worker process in the cloud to run that additional load. So if I have 750 of these users in my load test, how many agents do I get? Basic math. You were talking about
three.
That's right. You said this is going to be a basic math session. It was. And we're going to go ahead and choose apply and close. And we're going to run this. Now, this one itself, I didn't say where we should collect the performance counters, where should we collect that diagnostics information. I kind of left that out, or I skipped it, or I forgot about it. But what we're going to do is we're going to let this one spin up one virtual machine or one worker process. But what we're going to do is going to go ahead and go back to that load test. And we're going to go back to this brand new node called Applications. This was actually added in Update 2.
Okay.
So you need to make sure and grab our updates. If you don't know where to get them, there's a flag usually right there. I think it's hidden on mine. Oh, actually, it's right there. It's underneath of this. this tab. Let me unhide this. Come on, I did click you.
You did.
Not so much. Okay, let's pretend I clicked that. Underneath of that X right there, you can't see it, there is a flag, and it's telling you what updates you have,
right.
and the major updates are certainly listed. I'm sure you've pointed out those before. And we added an update to this one that says get application data. And we're redoing this UI to actually integrate it with that wizard as well. So you're not going to have to remember to go these three different places. And in this case, I put all of my performance counter and diagnostics information into an application on Application Insights called Frog. So we just need to find the Frog app. I think I scrolled past Frog. What do you think, since I'm in W's?
There it is.
There it is. Okay. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and kick off another one of these. So now I've got, I don't know, a couple hundred for 50 minutes now. And none of this is working on my machine. And I know
right.
you didn't bring a machine, so it's
nope.
certainly not your machine contributing to this. And this is what we think of as the normal workflow. And in this one, when it actually starts running, we're actually going to see real-time data. Let's see if this one actually is showing you. No, this is actually showing us our users coming up. Every second
mm-hmm.
we got a new one. And as we spin up more users, what's happening to the machine under stress is actually going down.
Sure, as you would expect.
As you would expect.
Yep.
And this is going to give you some capacity planning. If I want to support, in this case, we're running 200 users back-to-back with a request or response time of X,
mm-hmm.
you can start doing the math and figure out we need to add more capacity of this caliber. Now, this is actually going to show me my performance counters and actually more. And you'll see that since we didn't add it for that first definition, we're
mm-hmm.
not seeing this. Now, in this one, we are going to actually see that data. And it actually hasn't been sent back through yet because
okay.
that test hasn't spun up. But you'll see that this is how easy it was.
Yeah.
I have just added two out of the cloud, two machines, and I'm running load tests against it.
Yep.
At this point.
So how much of the performance is impacted by the Visual Studio Online site as opposed to the actual application? So in other words, if you did this test at 2 in the morning Eastern time as opposed to, well, it's now 4:30 Eastern
mm-hmm.
time, would that have a measurable impact on the test?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Ask that one
so
more
this
time.
So this stuff is running in the cloud, right?
Yeah, so I've given you a brand new instance of this machine, freshly
mm-hmm.
hydrated. It promises not to have any other assets of any other test of anybody else, and that's yours to run for this test duration.
Right.
Okay.
So I know that, if you go to a particular, the traffic on a website varies based
yes.
on the time of day.
Absolutely.
So I guess my question is, does the traffic on Visual Studio Online do that same type of varying? So when you run this test at one time of day and then you run it at another, will the performance that you're seeing be the same or will it vary based on the time of day?
So the Visual Studio Online load test is always going to give you what the settings are. In this case, it's one user per second as
mm-hmm.
hard as we can possibly run it through those recorded scripts. And we looked at three different pages. So it's going to go through them as hard as it possibly
okay.
can. And it's going to do that regardless. But you do bring up a really interesting point is that we are looking at the game in production.
Right.
So these graphs that we were looking at, I just negatively impacted my entire user base.
Mm-hmm.
So you would want to be very cognizant of having the capacity to not negatively impact it. And even if you're looking at new pages, this is where it starts talking about feature gates or hiding new features, because my team actually goes out and releases every Monday brand new features.
Right.
But the general public does not get to see those, and we test them in production. And we use feature gates. So we need to make sure that we have capacity
mm-hmm.
and need to make sure and run tests that are not going to negatively impact. So you are right in that you do need to think about, am I doing it during the middle of the day? Am I looking at something that is going to have like a butterfly effect and it's going to negatively impact somebody else, even if it's the
right.
IIS worker process?
Okay.
So that's a great point. So at this point, it might be interesting to go ahead and take a look at what's happening underneath the covers. Remember I told you
yep.
that we're collecting that performance data? Well, we could actually see this in real time with Application Insights. So this is the session that we said we probably need to do at some point. And let's go ahead and take a look at the performance. Oh, here we go. And what you'll see here, let's go ahead and
set. And this is based on the current load test you're running.
These spikes are, yeah, let's go ahead and highlight just this little tiny area right here. And all we're going to see is this is the test that I ran at about, well, it says 5:21, but that's UTC mm-hmm. time.
Right.
I think I sent you an email at 10:20. I said, I have the environment back up. Mm-hmm. And that was the load test I first started generating data.
Okay.
So what was interesting that we should tell people is that you see a big gap from here to there where we actually have no data. And what happened was is somebody had deleted the virtual machine that this application was running in. And I was out fishing. So at this point, I was sent 574 different alerts from Application Insight saying, this page is missing, these method calls are slow, this page is missing. But I was out fishing. So it wasn't until
you didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. And nobody was accessing the page.
I see.
And you could see right here before we lost all that virtual machine, I actually had just looked at it. Mm-hmm. And I had actually just rocked one of your teammates, Chris Sells, through the application.
Cool.
So I was walking Chris Sells through this. All right. The 13 here was me bringing up a new machine on the rotation mm-hmm. and me doing a new deployment. Now, what you can also see is what were the slowest issues that were a result of these performance tests. And I could go ahead and take a look at this top toe slowest issues. And you can see that I've got this crazy Cartesian join that was probably a some sort of a test SQL in there that I left in there and I haven't cleaned back out. And it happened at 6:12, so 2 hours ago is when that one happened. I think I'd actually just got the environment back up. And we go ahead and take a look at what's happening here, and I can see the entire call stack of that SQL statement. Mm-hmm. I can even take a look at the details view. Let's see if I can click that. And it's going to say, I'm only calling it once, but it's taking 30 seconds to run. What's scary is I've seen all kinds of internal apps that where this one is called six times, theirs is called hundreds of times in hard loops. The internal review tool that me and Robert uses is called Connect. And I looked at some of their code using the diagnostics. And they're actually going out and validating our email address 30 times per page, every page. And each one of those validations to an Active Directory call is slow.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty easy to go out and say, don't do that.
Right.
Just by looking at this number right here. Of course, the interesting thing is, as a developer, you want to go ahead and open it up straight into Visual Studio. And we'll actually have modified IntelliTrace so it knows about the change set. So if I didn't have this change set open, I could open up that solution from a machine that's never seen this project.
Cool. Yep.
In this case, I already have that project open right here, so I don't need to open up from a change set. Go ahead and look at the hot path. Let's see if we can give us some more real estate. I have this really tiny screen. And I could go ahead and debug this call. Oh, here it is. Oh, there we go. Actually, no, I think I double-click there. Let's go ahead and go back into the IntelliTrace file and scroll down here. What's happening here? What am I debug call? Oh, it's this one. There we go. Now I can debug this call. And what that's going to do is it's going to step right back into the line of code that was causing the problem at the top of that call stack, and I can start hitting my F10 and F11. Once again, you asked earlier, what SKU is this available in?
Yep.
IntelliTrace is also an Ultimate SKU.
Right.
So if you haven't downloaded the trial or if you don't have Ultimate, I recommend getting trial so you can go ahead and play with that.
Okay.
Now, that actually is the workflow that we envision a lot of people who are building, you know, web interfaced or web visible applications.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how the internal teams are using it, our first party people. So I've actually been working with the folks at Microsoft Game Studios. Microsoft Game Studios clearly has some web pages.
Yeah.
Right? We can go out and take a look at Microsoft.com/games or whatever it is, and you'll see that they have the game of the day and the game of the week and this title and that title. But really, what they're servicing is a set of APIs.
Mm-hmm.
How many gold points do I have? Can you add more Xbox credits? Can I go ahead and buy, you know, this Terra, whatnot?
Right.
And you know, from the micro purchases inside of your gameplay, that's all done through, all that billing is done through the Game Studios interface.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a website. So what they do is actually use JSON and REST APIs in the back end. So if you haven't taken a look at www.asp.net. Daniel Roth has got a great tutorial on how to do RESTful APIs. Mm-hmm. Have you had Daniel Roth in here? Okay, good. And the unit tests that you use to call those, we can load test those. In the Microsoft Game Studios case, they're going to want to tell their game publishers, we guarantee that you should be able to go ahead and add at least 2,000 requests per second for updating people's gold. That's what we guarantee.
Okay.
I want you to think about that. So what do they have to do to make sure that they have that? They're going to go ahead and run a load test. So let's go ahead and step out of the... Looks like they want me to BitLocker. Yeah. You want me to BitLocker my machine?
Why don't
right
we postpone
now?
That?
Okay, we'll go ahead and postpone the BitLockering on my machine. Sorry about that. We're going to go ahead and add a brand new load test. And this is a terribly interesting demo, other than the fact that actually, let's go ahead and take a look at the test mix and choose add. And you'll see that the Git contact and Git contacts are all from the Contact Manager REST API, actually, that Daniel Roth publishes by default.
Okay.
This isn't one that the Game Studios teams use, but they do have an idea of how do I get my user, my Xbox user, and they guarantee, again, at least, at the very least, for the lowest end titles, a 2,000 requests per second. So they're going to go ahead and add, and we can take a look at those unit tests in a second. Let's remind me to do that. Post is another one. And there was a Git contact as well. Again, same exact experience. The only thing is this was a unit test. It wasn't recorded. And it was calling RESTful APIs. I could go ahead and step through this. Just hit finish. And we could go ahead and run that. The difference at this point is the fact that we are now going out and hitting services.
So we, in the third episode of the unit testing, we looked at fakes.
Yeah.
So would this be a place where you could use fakes to, for the purpose of the test, assume that that call to the RESTful API took a second to return, 2 seconds to return? Could you test, could you test what happens to your application when the service behaves well, poorly, horrifically?
So that's actually a really good point that the Game Studios guys are running into, is that they did this, and they're finding out that they were at 180, 200 requests per second.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is going on? So what they did is, let's think about what's happening. Is I am going out and I'm buying something in my favorite game. My favorite game is Halo, and I wanted to go out and buy a pimped out Warthog with chrome 22-inch wheels.
Mm.
So I hit buy, and it goes ahead and does a micropayment, but it doesn't end with Microsoft.com. It goes out to Equifax or some other...
I thought you were plugged in. Didn't we walk across the street to get a power cord? We did, but then you didn't use it.
This side got plugged in. Isn't it wireless power on the other side?
So I can't wait for that.
So pimped out Warthog. And it doesn't go with just Microsoft.com or Xbox. They go out to Equifax or American Express. So they were saying, our code should be doing 5,000 requests per second. We have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we running at 100 factor less? And what they did was they went ahead and amateur hour. It's amateur hour stuff. What they went ahead and did was they did a fake for all of the calls they did for externals.
Right.
And all of a sudden they were at that 5,000 number.
There you go.
Hang on.
Proving.
Our code is working good.
That's exactly right.
It's our
That's
dependency.
A great use of it.
So, and again, and calling up, you know, American Express, they'd be like, no, we're good. What else is happening? And then, of course, they have downstream. So what the Game Studios guys are working on that I'm helping them with is actually doing caching and proxying calls that will go out and say, hey, if I can't give it back in 5 seconds, give them a placeholder with a pointer back into it.
Right.
Says, hey, we bought your Warthog. I can't update your bill yet. So I went ahead and did an async call. Says, charge a guy 15 cents for his Warthog or whatever a pimped out Warthog to cost today. I haven't priced him lately. And we're going to update your bill as soon as we can. So they're starting to use asynchronous calls, they're starting to use things like MSMQ caching, and they wouldn't have been able to do that unless they'd used like the fakes that you just shocked. And this is actually why they're testing those unit, are using load test to test their unit test. Say, are we there? Are my partners there? Are my dependencies there? And the list that we looked at for the application insights, I'm gonna go back there and show you that screen because I actually did not spend a whole lot of time on that screen. You'll see that in any one of these calls, see this call right here? Mm-hmm. You'll see what my dependencies look at. So like at this particular call, you'll see that it looks okay. But this one here, it's all blue. Who's blue? Blue is, it looks like a temp convert in a contact manager context is actually where I'm spending all my time.
Right.
If anything that calls outside of your process space, you'll actually see it as part of that stock diagram. And you're gonna have immediately that cat whisker sensation of, this is the problem right here.
Right.
So you'll know that this is where we need to go looking.
Yep.
So.
Cool.
Anyways, that's what I want to share with you is
that's awesome.
You know, we've got load testing despite what everybody thinks. And while web testing walks you down this web path, we will actually go ahead and if you wanted to, you could put coded UI tests in there. You need to think about where your agent runs and does it have access to the UI. It's not best practice. Or things like this. And if you're unit tests are called calling services that are available on the internet.
Yep.
This is a great tool for you guys to go ahead and take advantage of.
So, sweet.
Anything
that's
else
awesome. No, that's awesome. That's great. So we'll have some pointers to resources where people can learn more, maybe other videos, some of the documentation and stuff like that.
Go ahead, keep talking.
Do you want to point out a good place where people can learn more about this?
Absolutely. So. First of all, like I said, this all that we looked at is an ultimate. If you don't have a Visual Studio Online account, by the way, the load tests that we're running, you have by default 15,000 minutes. Those are vUser minutes, by the way, I should point out. And you can actually take a look at your homepage for your Visual Studio Online account, and you'll see that here's your resource usage. Now, when you have access to the backend database, you tend to do things where you get more access than the other guy. You're just a little bit more even or... you get just a little bit more quota, and this is what you're seeing here is the fact that I've updated the database in the back end.
Yeah.
If you don't have a Visual Studio Online account,
go get one.
You go ahead and click on here, and I recommend people do this sooner than later because the good names are getting taken. There's about a million accounts, but I'm guessing right now robertgreen.visualstudio.com is still available unless you've already taken it.
I took R.O. Green.
Yeah, there you go. So Robert Green.
Robert Green goes pretty fast.
Okay.
R.O. Green, not as fast.
And if you don't have Visual Studio Ultimate, you click on the green box, and that's going to give you a gray box right here when it loads for you to download it.
Okay.
As far as to answer your question, yeah, absolutely. So I would recommend that you go to aka.ms/AI. C9 would be a good place for people to start. And that's going to go ahead and give you the application insights. The last video on the application insights is getting started with cloud-based load testing.
Sweet.
There is also a AKA. Here, let's actually give you one other one. Because you're paying for the studio time, not me. it is load TFS. No, it's TFS load. I am typing.
It's...
All right.
TFS load.
TFS load.
Okay.
And that's aka.ms/TFS load.
Okay.
And that will actually give you pointers to how many agents do I get for the users, how to get started, going ahead and showing you how to click that one radio button.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not real hard to click a radio button because if you didn't do that, you would have to have new agents.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Cool stuff.
Any other thing else?
Nope. That's
right.
Good.
Thank you very much. My name is Charles Sterling, Program Manager on Visual Studio.
Thank you. I thought that you were the man that needed no introduction, so I didn't introduce you.
That's entirely fine.
All right. Excellent stuff. Thanks for coming on. Check this stuff out. Let us know what questions you have, comments you have, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.